turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. A few weeks ago, we preached on Joseph as he revealed himself to his brothers as the type of Christ. Once again, we'd like to preach from the life of Joseph. Again, his life story has presented in Genesis is one of the most powerful accounts in all the Word of God. It's a very extraordinary life story, a story that serves as a model in life, gives encouragement, hope, is a very relevant account throughout all ages. Joseph, of course, is a shining example in living life, and he's the most complete type of Christ in the Old Testament. The reason being is he was simply conformed to the image of Christ. In Joseph, we see a bright testimony. In Joseph, we see a demonstration of living by faith. We see a life of victory. We see a man who stood for the glory of God, and a man who made a great difference in the life of many. He's a very unique individual. We'd like to read here in Genesis 39, verse 2 and 3, and then we'll read verses 21 and 23. Genesis 39, verse 2 and verse 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. It is specifically stated in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. That is confirmed in verse 3, and his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. It is then stated again in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. And then again it is confirmed in verse 23 that the Lord was with him. It was outwardly evident that the Lord was with this man, Joseph. Joseph's life story, again, is one of the most compelling in all the Word of God. And this statement, the Lord was with Joseph, I believe is a summation of his life. It explains his life. It explains why he was the man that he was. The Lord was with Joseph. Now notice that this is also said of some others. In Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua. And then notice what follows. Something positive. And his fame was noised throughout all the country. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 18. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge. Then something positive followed. And delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge whom the Lord was with. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. 1 Samuel 18, verse 12. 1 Samuel 18, verse 12. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. I'm in verse 8, verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, we read concerning Hezekiah. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 18. And we'll read verse 7. And the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Syria and served him not. So in several cases we see that the Lord was with, and then it mentions an individual's name. Now God, of course, is omnipresent, which simply means that he, without multiplying himself, without dividing himself, he penetrates and fills all the universe in all its parts at all times. He is always, everywhere present. He is not bound by time. He is not bound by space. So when we read very specifically that the Lord was with an individual, this is referring to something beyond his omnipresence. It is indicative of a very special presence of God. It is indicative of a very extraordinary and unique presence of the Lord. I believe that it speaks of God's protection of a certain individual. The Lord was with Joshua. That is, all through his life, God, in a very special way, protected Joshua. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joshua. The Lord was with Samuel. The Lord was with David. I believe this is saying that God was prospering their lives, that God's enabling power was upon their lives. The presence of the Lord gives rest. This is promised to Moses in Exodus 33 and verse 14. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Again, that's something beyond just omnipresence. My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The presence of the Lord gives courage. We read in Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. God's presence gives courage. God's presence gives very special comfort. We have the promise of Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I will be with thee in a very special way. So again, we read here in our text, the Lord was with Joseph. But it must be noted that that did not keep Joseph from being hated by his brothers. That did not keep Joseph from being sold as a slave. That did not keep him from false accusations, Potiphar's wife. Did not keep him from imprisonment because of the false accusations. But it did keep him from sin. It did keep him from sin. And it caused him to be a model of faithfulness. And it caused him to be steadfast. And it caused him to be committed to God and made to be a blessing to countless other individuals. And it gave him victory. And it caused him to rise above his circumstances. It caused him to reign. It caused him to be a bright testimony for God in a variety of circumstances, in a variety of situations. Again, that phrase, the Lord was with Joseph, is a summary of his life. You can read through the life of Joseph, and at any point, you can stop and you can insert that statement, the Lord was with Joseph. It explains his life. It explains who he was. And I believe that Joseph knew that God was with him. I believe that Joseph sensed that God was with him. I believe that Joseph saw that God was with him. I believe that Joseph experienced God's presence in a very, very special way. So we're going to speak tonight on living life in God's presence. We want to consider just two things concerning the presence of God with Joseph. We want to see, first of all, the Lord was with Joseph in the midst of a dysfunctional family. Secondly, we want to see that the Lord was with Joseph in all the various seasons and through all the changes of his life. First of all, the Lord was with Joseph in the midst of a terrible family. Joseph was born into a family embroiled in controversy and dissension, a family that was marked by immorality, a family that was marked by turmoil and vice and jealousy, bitterness and violence. His father, Jacob, was a liar. Jacob, Joseph's father, was a manipulator. He was a conniver. He was a self-centered schemer and shyster. That's Jacob. That is the father of Joseph. But Joseph would rise above it all. Why? For the Lord was with Joseph. Before Joseph was born, his father Jacob fell in love with his cousin, a girl named Rachel. And he agreed to work for her father, his uncle, Laban, for 7 years. When the 7 years was up and the wedding day arrived, Laban, of course, tricked Jacob and gave him Leah, also his cousin. Jacob spends his wedding night with Leah, his cousin. And in the morning, he discovers the trick and he confronts Laban, who agrees to let Jacob have Rachel in exchange for 7 more years of work. However, he did not have to wait the 7 years to marry Rachel, but he only had to wait 1 week. We see that in Genesis 29, verses 27 through 30. So think about it. Within a week, Jacob has 2 young wives who are sisters and are his cousins. And he prefers one over the other. He prefers Rachel over Leah. This sets the stage for jealousy, bitterness, and anger. So there he is, 2 wives. He's a polygamist. It isn't long before Leah becomes pregnant. Not once, but 4 times. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah are all conceived one after another. Genesis 29, verses 32 through 35 gives us that account. Rachel, still without child, and she takes matters into her own hands and gives Jacob her handmaid, Bilhah, to have children in her place. Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. And she has 2 sons by Jacob, Dan and Naphtali. Genesis 30, verses 5 through 8. Leah, Jacob's other wife, sees this, so she gives her handmaid, Zilpah, to Jacob to have children for her. And 2 sons are born, Gad and Asher. After a period of time, Leah has 3 more children by Jacob, Issachar, Zebulun, and a daughter named Dinah. Genesis 30, verses 17 through 21. So now Jacob has 10 sons. He has 1 daughter by 3 different women. 4 different women. 3 different women. And Rachel is still barren. But to her would be born Joseph, Jacob's 10th or 11th son, and Benjamin. So Joseph's mother is his second cousin. And he has 3 stepmothers. And he has 10 half-brothers, 1 half-sister, and 1 brother. What a mess. This is a dysfunctional family. Now, depending where you put, you remember that when Benjamin was born, he was born, of course, after Joseph, Rachel died in childbirth. Now, depending where you put Benjamin's birth. Some put it before Joseph was sold into slavery. Some put it after. But if it was before Joseph was sold into slavery, his mother died and he was raised by three stepmothers. No matter how you look at it, this is a total mess. And there does not appear to be any future for Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, Joseph is brought before us at the age of 17. We're not told much about Joseph before that. But by reading, before we get to Genesis 37, we do know that there were several events that would have marked Joseph's life before he reached the age of 17. At a very young age, Joseph's grandfather from his father's side, Laban, or from his mother's side, chases down the family and accuses Jacob of stealing. Jacob didn't steal, Rachel stole. And they agree never to see each other again. So Jacob or Joseph would never see his grandfather Laban again. You read on and you see that Joseph's sister Dinah is raped by Shechem. And his brothers take matters into their own hands and kill the men of the city. And as you read on, you see that Reuben, the oldest brother, half-brother of Joseph, commits incest with his father's concubine, Bilhah. And again, we could go on and on, but you get the idea. Joseph, in his formative years, lived in a dysfunctional family. And Jacob, Joseph's father, was passive. He basically allowed his children to do as they pleased, with no correction whatsoever. And he showed favoritism, which was a very foolish thing to do. Joseph's half-brothers, they were all wicked. They were all self-centered individuals. Before Joseph was thrown into a pit, before he was sold as a slave in Potiphar's house, before he was cast into prison, and before he stood before Pharaoh as the prime minister of Egypt, before all of that, Joseph spent his formative years in a home marked by sin. He spent his formative years in a home marked by sadness and strife and struggles. Joseph's formative years were in an environment of immorality. They were an environment of rape and murder and incest and betrayal and idolatry and jealousy and turmoil and anger and hatred and even death. Joseph had a tragic family background. But the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph rose above the dysfunction that surrounded him. And the reason is this: the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph does not get the credit here. The Lord was with Joseph. And he rose above a dysfunctional, immoral family. It's really, I mean, if you look at, and again, we could go into a lot more detail, but we're not going to. But if you look at the detail of his family, It's really pretty amazing that the sanity and the emotions of Joseph remained intact. The reason? The Lord was with Joseph. I mean, looking at Joseph's family, most people would have concluded Joseph doesn't have a chance. He don't have a chance. You know, I've thought that many times. When a child is born into this world and I look at the mom and the dad and I look at the family and I think, oh, God help them. That child doesn't have a chance unless God intervenes. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph could have stopped living his life at an early age. He could have found many areas to cast blame. But to blame your life on people in your past, I believe, is nothing more than a smokescreen for a heart that simply refuses to repent and to be changed by the power of God. Joseph rose above it all. And the reason the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph's life was not easy. That brings us to our second point. The Lord was with Joseph in and through the seasons of his life. Our lives, of course, are made up of many different activities. Many different events occur in our lives. Many different circumstances make up a life. There are all sorts of incidents that go into making up a life. As we live our life, we pass through many seasons. We pass through many times. And we all know by experience that these things are personally felt. And these things are personally experienced. But Joseph's life, though we all have different events, and though we all have different happenings and seasons, Joseph's life was one of extreme changes. As you read the biblical account of his life, there is that reoccurring phrase, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Drastic things were always happening in the life of Joseph. The Lord rarely brings you and I from point A to point B in a straight line. From point A to point B, the road can take many, many turns. That is nowhere better illustrated than in the life of Joseph. Reading through the biblical account of Joseph's life, we see that Joseph personally felt and experienced the pain and the turmoil of hatred. Joseph experienced hatred by his own brothers, half-brothers. Joseph experienced the pain of resentment. His brothers could not speak peaceably unto him. They resented him. It's due to the fact that Jacob showed favoritism and that Joseph told of his dream and how one day he would rule over them. Joseph personally experienced the pain of betrayal. You live long enough, you will experience hatred. You will experience resentment. You will experience betrayal. But Joseph, again, everything is extreme. He personally felt the pain and the turmoil of conspiracy, of rejection, of exile, of poverty, of slavery, of slander, temptation, imprisonment because of slander, ingratitude. You remember when he was in prison and he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler? And the one that was set free was to tell of Joseph, but he forgot him for 2 years. Ingratitude. Disappointment. Joseph personally experienced the pain of all of these things. But Joseph also experienced riches, power, and influence. Again, as you read Joseph's life, as you read the hatred and the resentment and the betrayal, etc., in each of those spots, you can stop and you can insert that phrase, "The Lord was with Joseph." Yes, Joseph was hated by his brothers, but the Lord was with Joseph. Yes, he was betrayed, but the Lord was with Joseph. He was slandered. He was imprisoned. He was exiled. But the Lord was with Joseph. And when he came to riches and power and influence, the Lord was with Joseph. That is the overriding factor of his life. The Lord was with Joseph. Because of that, all the hardship did not harden his heart. If anyone had an excuse to have a hard heart, if anyone had an excuse to be bitter, it's Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. And hardship did not harden his heart. And wealth and power did not corrupt him. Oh, wealth and power have corrupted many. But not Joseph. Because the Lord was with Joseph. So whether it was hardship or riches or power, there is no record. We're not saying that Joseph was perfect. But there is no record of Joseph wavering. There is no record of Joseph falling. There is no record of Joseph complaining. There is no record of Joseph compromising. He is an amazing individual. Why? For the Lord was with Joseph. In times of hardship, Joseph's testimony was bright. In very grim and very dark circumstances, he maintained a testimony for God because the Lord was with him. Notice Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Again, he's a slave now in Potiphar's house. And he was a prosperous man. Not materially, but spiritually. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 6, and he, that is Potiphar, his master, left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. He's been hated. He has been betrayed. He has been sold. He is away from his family. He is in exile. He is a slave in a strange land. And yet we read Joseph was a goodly person. He maintained a testimony. Did not cast blame upon his wicked half-brothers. He was a goodly person. Because the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? In exile, serving in Potiphar's house, he is faced with temptation. But Joseph's attitude was not, what's the use? My life has been a wreck. He rose above the temptation because the Lord was with Joseph. No matter what the circumstance, people could see that the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar could see it. When he was cast into prison, the guards could see it. When he was brought before Pharaoh, Pharaoh could see it. The Lord was with Joseph. It was manifest in his life. So whether it was hardship or whether it was wealth or prestige and power, Joseph rose above it all. Joseph lived above it all. He was never brought under the control of his circumstances. He was never diverted by his circumstances. No matter what was happening, he was faithful. He was committed to God. He was steadfast in the ways of God. And he was standing for the honor and glory of God. The reason the Lord was with Joseph. Now at any point in his life, Joseph certainly could have focused upon the wrongs that were done him. He could have focused on that day when his brothers, half-brothers, sold him into slavery. He could have focused upon the false accusations of Potiphar's wife that resulted in him being cast into prison. Joseph did not focus upon the wrongs that were done him. He could have focused upon many slights that were toward him. But he didn't. If there was anybody who could have got stuck in self-pity, it was certainly Joseph. But he never seemed to get stuck there. If there was anyone who had a right to be angry, it was Joseph. But Joseph, he did not act out of anger. He had the opportunity. When his brothers came before him and Joseph was in charge of everything, he had opportunity for revenge. But he didn't focus. He didn't become angry. He didn't become so angry and hurt that he just threw up his hands and decided that life wasn't worth living. No, the Lord was with Joseph. And he strived to be what God would have him to be no matter where he was. And God prospered him spiritually. No matter what came into his life, it seems to me that Joseph had already determined that he was going to live for God and do the right thing. Yes, Joseph was done wrong. But even when Joseph was done wrong, he said, I'm going to do the right thing. And he maintained a testimony. You see, even when we are done wrong, even when we are betrayed, that does not give us the right to sin. It does not give us the right to be angry. We need to determine, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to be what God would have me to be, no matter what. And you can't just get up one morning and decide that's the way you're going to be. No, that requires the special presence of the Lord. And the Lord was with Joseph. In the very midst of extreme circumstances, Joseph typified Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why God leaves us on this earth, to typify Jesus Christ. And it's all summarized in this statement. The Lord was with Joseph. And I believe that Joseph saw that the Lord was with him. I believe that Joseph felt the presence of God. When he was in that pit, I believe he felt the presence of God. When he was in Potiphar's house, I believe he felt the presence of God. When he was down in that prison, he felt the presence of God. When he was made the prime minister of Egypt, he felt the presence of God. He acknowledged the presence of God. He experienced the presence of God throughout his life. He lived his life in the presence of God. And that will give you strength. That will give you strength. Living your life, seeing, feeling, acknowledging, experiencing the presence of God in your life will give you courage. And it will give you assurance that God's in control. Remember Jacob's attitude? All these things are against me. If anyone had the right to say that, it was Joseph. But he never did. He never did. Because Joseph knew the presence of God was upon his life. And he knew that God was working all things according to his will. And he knew that God was working all things for him. You see, when you know the presence of God is upon your life, you can't help but praise the Lord. You can't help but give thanks unto God. You can't help but rejoice in the Lord. You can't help but to enjoy the Lord. The Lord was with Joseph. And circumstances did not change his life. You know, there are many people, and we're all this way to some degree. Their circumstances determine whether they're happy or sad. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. If God is present with us in the way He was with Joseph, if we live our lives in the presence of God, we'll praise Him, we'll thank Him, no matter where we are. The Lord was with Joseph. So I ask you tonight, do you live in the awareness of His nearness? What a blessing to get up in the morning and feel the presence of God. To go through the day and feel the presence of God. I'll tell you this. If you've ever felt that, when it's not there, you won't be able to stand it. You won't be able to live. The blessing of living with the awareness that God is near. Always feeling the presence of the Lord. Do we have a sense of God's presence with us? Can we feel His presence upon our life? My point is this: this should not be just an occasional thing. This should be our life. Living with the presence of God upon our lives. The Lord was with Joseph. Oh, how we ought to desire the presence of God upon our lives. How we ought to pursue the presence of God in our lives. How we ought to pray and plead with God for His presence upon our lives. In every season, in every circumstance, in every event, in every occurrence, we need to desire God's presence. A lot of things happen that we don't like. I am pretty sure that Joseph didn't like when his brothers cast him into a pit. I'm sure Joseph, if he had his choice, would have chose something else. I'm pretty sure he didn't enjoy being sold into slavery. But he had the presence of God upon his life. And that needs to be our desire. Yes, we will experience many things that we do not enjoy. We will experience things that hurt us deeply. But in those times, we need to desire God's presence. We need to pursue God's presence. And we can even be honest with God and say, God, I don't like this. I don't like where my life is right now, but Lord, I need Your presence. I need Your presence upon my life. Because let me tell you something. You're going to go through difficult times. And you can go through them without the Lord, or you can go through them with the Lord. And if you go through them without the Lord, you've made your situation even more miserable than it needs to be. Or you can go through it with the Lord. Lord's presence. We ought to desire and pursue it all the time. That is how we live above all the negative influences. Joseph's formative years were filled with negative influence. But Joseph rose above it all because the Lord was with Joseph. We live in a world filled with negative influences. But we don't have to become a slave. We don't have to become a prisoner to negative influences. We don't have to be brought under their dominion. We just simply need the presence of God upon our lives. This is how we live above our circumstances. And this is how we enjoy the Lord in our lives. How many of God's people enjoy the Lord? From appearance, it doesn't seem like very many. Should we not enjoy the Lord? The way to enjoy the Lord is to have His presence upon your life. So I ask you today, do you live Do you live in the presence of God? Do you go through life knowing God is with me? God is upon me. I think about it, the Bible teaches that if we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in us. So God's in us. God's behind us. God's in front of us. God's to our right. God's to our left. God's above us. Deuteronomy says, underneath are the everlasting arms. We ought to feel surrounded by God. And what a difference that will make in your whole life. What a difference it makes in just the way you view life. There are God's people who view life in a worse way than lost people. There's nothing right about that. It shouldn't be. We are surrounded by the presence of God. Do we feel His presence in our life? Do we want His presence? Do we want to feel that? Do we want to enjoy God? Then don't do the things which rob you of that joy. The Lord was with Joseph. And I'm glad it doesn't stop there. That can be said of me, that can be said of you. The Lord was with them. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand.